How about now?
There you go, Sweet Cheeks.
Emily, tell her call me Sweet Cheeks. Tuesday, Tuesday podcast episode 219. I'm Sam Ginsberg, and here is Tyler Dryblade.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Tuesday, Tuesday podcast. Today we are going to be talking about craft beers and not so craft beers. And we have myself, Sam, and Three Stacks. How's it going, Three Stacks?
It's going all right.
All right.
I'm still not talking loud enough.
Well, I mean, what's new? That's probably not going to change.
Really, I just got distracted because I was watching Sam pour his beer, and his beer is going to have so much better of a mouthfeel than my beer.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Well, what do you have that you're talking down so much?
Yours looks good, but I'm down with the thickness.
Yeah. I have Moody Tongue Caramelized Chocolate Churro Baltic Porter.
Wow, that's a lot of words.
It is a lot of words. It's 7% ABV. Once it actually poured, is nice and dark, but like as I was pouring it, I was like, this feels lighter than it should be, and it looks real watery, but I haven't actually tried it, so I guess I should do that before
Suck
I
it down.
Talk smack about it.
Yeah.
That is questionably balanced. It doesn't taste like it's like smooth. It tastes like it's a little bit bitter, and also they put some vanilla in it.
Weird.
So, you're not raving about it.
First sip, not great. Okay. We'll see how that goes.
I had such high hopes for that beer for you.
Right? It sounded so good, but like, it's got a little bit of caramel note, but not really any chocolate, and I expected some cinnamon, but I'm not getting any cinnamon.
Is it sweet at all, or just vanilla-y?
It is sweet, but like, I would expect, like, the bitterness and the sweetness to kind of balance each other out a little bit, and they don't. It is just both of those things.
It's what everybody likes. So, I have Rosetta from Brewery Omegang. Now, I really like Brewery Omegang. They're one of my favorites. And so, I kind of have high expectations for this beer, even though it is, I'm not exactly sure, is it Creek? Creek? Do you know?
I've always called it Creek, but I have no reason to believe that I'm correct.
Well, it's a Belgian Creek aged on sherries, it says. So that's not necessarily my favorite type of Belgian beer, but I really like Brewery Omegang. It's 5.6% ABV. It pours really, really nicely. Kind of a dark amber red, thick, beigey, cream-colored head. It smells a lot like cherries. It kind of smells like wine, like cherry wine. Interesting. It's very juicy, tart, almost like a sour. I think Becca would really like this, but I'm not sure it's necessarily completely up my alley. But that's just the first sip. Samuel, what do you have that Three Stacks was raving about?
Were you raving about this?
It looks good. I don't think I would actually like it. But I like the idea of it.
So I have my old pal back, Evil Twin. You're in the jungle, baby!
You're in the jungle?
You're in.
Oh, that makes me feel better.
You're located within the jungle, friend.
I
this
see.
Is alternate title. Imperial Stout with, I don't know if that's Pasilla or Pasilla, because I don't know if it's, I don't know its language of origin. It's chilies, and honey, and tangerine peel, and cacao nibs.
You guys are just going with the packed beers, huh?
Yeah. I mean, Evil Twin often goes with a packed vibe. Also, it's 12% alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of heat and a little bit of orange in the nose, so I guess that tracks.
Yep.
Huh. Not as robust as I had imagined it would be, but I've kind of been drinking all day, So I think I might need just a little more time to unpack flavors here.
Well, good thing that you've dulled all your senses for this show where we try to, you know, go in depth and really describe a beer to our listeners.
But the thing is, I think that it's all about turning down my inhibitions.
freeing your real truth to come out.
Yeah, I feel like the best episodes are the ones where I'm drunk because I'm like making farts into the microphone and all that stuff.
Okay.
Showing my wiener to the Skype camera, even though the listeners can't really see that. I think that the energy comes through, which is important.
It's just you, me, and the CIA on that one.
Sup, nerds? You like this wiener?
Sup, nerds? Like this wiener. Anywho, let's do an article. Yeah, so I believe last week we talked about this new the discovery of a old strain of yeast in South America way.
But it wasn't actually, though. Like, that was a recurring joke, but as a journalist, please just say it was Mexico.
Okay, it was in Mexico. And they were like, hey, you know, we thought that these yeasts were in Europe at a certain time, but now we found them in Mexico at an earlier time. So this kind of throws off our timeline. And this article that we have here is tangentially related to that. So from CNBC.com, we have how a scientific discovery led Heineken to brew a new beer. Our old friends Heineken, they jumped on this discovery of this yeast, and they have now brewed a beer named H41, which is named after, I guess, the latitude where it was found. And it uses this new yeast, and I was kind of excited. I was like, oh, Heineken doing something a little weird, you know? This sounds more like an Intasi-type deal, right? But this H41 is just exactly the same as normal Heineken, but they switched out the yeast.
So instead of hearing the scientific research that their beer sounds like it belongs in a toilet and making a beer that doesn't belong in a toilet, they just made a different beer that still belongs in a toilet.
I mean, I haven't tried it, but I can't imagine that just changing the yeast made it any better. Especially because this the dude behind H41, the principal at Heineken who was doing this thing, he had a really hard time getting this new yeast to actually make alcohol. Like, it wasn't doing a good job eating up all those sugars and pooping out alcohol.
Seems weird if it's, like, such a tried-and-true lager yeast.
It's one half of a tried-and-true lager yeast. It's one of the parents of lager yeast.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so I guess it took him, like, 2 years of, like, fiddling around to get it to actually do its thing, like, with different air pressure and whatnot and heat. And so it actually kind of seems like it's a crappy yeast to make beer out of. So I can't imagine it made, like, normal Heineken all of a sudden X times better, you know? It sounds like you guys do know. Super.
Awesome. I'm just staring at Emily waiting for her to talk.
Why are you going to give me a hard time? I was waiting.
Three Stacks, give us a hot take.
I don't know. This seems like it is 100% just so they could say they were doing something new and interesting. Like, if a yeast strain does not want to be made into beer and you force it to make a beer, like, why?
Oh, damn. So you're saying they've enslaved these yeasts, huh? Three Stacks? Are you saying freedom for yeast? You're going to get on that? Going to get on that, train?
She's going to be a hyper-vegan and say even yeast she won't enslave.
She's going to be a lightitarian.
I do like the implication that this article has, that it specifically says the yeast that most brewers use has already been trained to eat sugars and in turn produce alcohol and carbon dioxide. Like, as though someone just, you know, held out tiny treats for the yeasts. And
I imagine a tiny little lion tamer cracking his whip at the yeasts.
I think the term they are looking for there is bread, but they didn't want to use that term.
Right.
Yeah, I also feel like no one actually trained yeast to do that. That's just what yeast does.
Well, different strains do it differently, so they could have specially bred it to...
Yeah.
I think brewer's yeast probably is bred for that.
I mean, like,
one of those GMOs, baby!
I'm certain it's bred to do that better than other yeast, but, like, don't act like that's not what yeast does.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, they did it. So it'll be out at some point. It says somewhere in here, I think. I don't know. But look out for it.
Really does not seem worth trying.
No, I mean, if I see it, I'll probably try it. But, like, I'm not going to hunt it out.
I mean, different yeast strains definitely can impart significantly different flavors. Yes. But I think with a beer like Heineken, where their goal is to taste as close to water as you can,
right,
imparting a different yeast character is not really going to help.
Yeah, why were they even bothered about, you know, like, getting it to produce alcohol? They could have just, you know, shipped their kind of bubbly water and everybody would have been like, okay, this is about right.
I mean, I think it still needs to hit that 3.5 mark or whatever they're working with.
Right. Okay.
Oh no, this is the beginning of a series. A series called Wild Lagers.
Lagers gone wild.
I know when I think wild, crazy flavor profiles, I think Heineken.
I think lagers in general.
Hey, speaking of wild, we had a little bit of a wild Saturday.
Did you?
Yeah, we went and saw a concert. I want you to guess who we saw.
Okay.
The main act and opening act were two bands that we got drunk a lot to in college.
Oh, interesting. I want
to see what your guesses are.
I mean, there were a lot.
There were a lot.
So that's pretty difficult. The main act and the opening act.
It is a double bill that makes no sense.
Okay, is one of them Beck, perchance?
Oh, no, that would have been interesting.
Okay, so no Beck.
No Beck. Although there's a dude I work with named Beck, and he was there.
Nice, that's pretty cool. I don't know. You didn't happen to go see Born Ruffians, did you?
No, I didn't. But think a wilder drunk.
A wilder drunk.
That'll get you the opening act, potentially.
I don't know. No, I hate this guessing game. Just tell me.
Fair enough. The opener was Gogol Bordello.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
And the like real act was Modest Mouse.
No shit. Wow, that's awesome. Okay, well, I should have guessed Gogol Bordello. That's my bad. I should have gotten there. But wow, that's really cool. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm super jealous.
Yeah, it was fun. It was an outro concert, so we got a little chill ski by the end.
Right.
But we had fun. I had a lot more fun than she did. They're not really her type of music. She just came with me because she's nice.
That's nice. How did Modest Mouse do? Because, you know, years ago they were known for their bad shows, but they've sobered up now.
So Isaac Brock seemed like the craziest person on the planet.
Right.
There were, like, you know,
and,
a lot
and
of...
And Eugene Hutz was just on that stage, so...
Yeah, exactly. But... He, you know, a lot of bands will do, like, a little bit of crowd banter between songs.
Yeah.
But his crowd banter seemed like he was schizophrenic. Like, he honestly was having conversations with... Maybe he was having conversations with someone in the first row, and I couldn't hear the other half of the conversations, but it seemed like he was talking to someone that no one else could see between songs.
Right.
Like, they put on a good performance for the most part. A couple of their songs they, like, did some weird stuff with, but they would, like, he would, like, be like, you know, it's crazy, man. We're looking for God. God's above us. God's below us. It's crazy, man. And then we'd be like, what? And then he would launch into a rendition of Dashboard that was, like, exactly as it sounds on the album. And it's like, what are you even doing? How's this happening?
That's pretty cool.
And there's a part where he was like, we think, doing a hilarious bit about not knowing where he was, but it's very possible he did not know where he was.
He was not aware.
I think it was a joke that wasn't delivered well, because he was like, man, the thing about Florida is it's my favorite Florida. And then 2 seconds later, he's like, I don't know how you deal with all this rain here in Washington. And I was like, what? And then right before they launched the next side, he was like, thank you, England! It's fucking weird, nerd. There were a few things. We saw some weird shit, and I feel like it warrants rattling off.
Please, yeah. Did you see anybody doing, like, hard drugs?
I saw a deal for what may or may not have been hard drugs.
Okay, yeah, usually you see somebody buying Molly or something like that.
The dude in front of me in line for beer bought drugs off the dude in front of him in line for beer. It was some pills. some prescription pills. I don't know what they were, but like these guys didn't even know each other. So I don't know how the dude knew this guy had pills to sell. He just went and he was talking to him, and then pills changed hands, and they were trying to be real sly about it, and they were doing a bad job.
Well.
But also we saw a guy juggling, like performance juggling, trying to do it in time with the music. He dropped his balls so many times, and it was hilarious. And we saw a guy with dreads that were, like, down to his ankles?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure some of them were actually, like, dragging on the ground. This and was what, a white guy, for the record.
I was just about to ask if it was a white guy.
Yeah, it was a white guy. It was,
of course it is.
He was wearing a hoodie over his dreads?
Sure, so they peek out the bottom, which looks real good, because then it looks like you're taking a bunch of dumps at once.
Yeah, it was real, real nasty.
It was horrifying. There were so many white people with dreads, but that was by far the worst.
It's real gross. I'm trying to think. There were a couple other weird shits we saw.
There was a girl who was sitting on the grass in front of us who, like, was showing butt crack for so, so long, and then she finally pulled her underpants up and had a whale tail instead. I'm not sure which is better.
We were really, the whole time we were having a conversation about her, like, oh man, she got that pipare going, which is Icelandic for butt crack. It's one of the only Icelandic words I remember. And then she would, like, she would adjust and be like, nope, butt crack's still out.
I would have just been throwing pennies.
Yeah, the tramp stamp didn't help.
That's like a backboard.
Yeah.
That's for a rebound.
Oh, and she asked me to take a picture of her and her friend. And she was like, so we were sitting down on the turf. And she's like, you don't even have to stand up. You just take the picture where you are. And I was like, all right. And I took her picture. I'm not like super great at photography. I'm in fact pretty bad at it. And I was like, I don't know if these pictures turned out right. And so I kind of told her, like, I don't know if these pictures turned out too well. Sorry, I did my best. And then she looked at him. She's like, yeah, it was kind of a weird angle. And I was like, damn it, woman, you told me to stay seated. And then, like, we watched her go ask a different set of people to take her picture. I was like, this bitch over here.
I find picture taking a weird thing. Like, no matter where you go, where you are, people are always willing to take your picture. Or, like, willing to ask you to take their picture. Like, I've never seen somebody be like, oh, no, I won't do that for you, you know? But ask somebody to do almost anything else on the street, and they will refuse. Why is picture taking so special?
Maybe homeless people should start being, like, just to get people in the door, just be like, hey, can you take a picture of me in front of this building? Cool, you got any change?
Right, yeah. Oh, I see, like the icebreaker, because of course they're going to take your picture.
If you'd be rude not to.
Right. That's a great idea, Sam. I think you're onto something. Too bad, well, I shouldn't say never, but you'll probably never get a chance to try that out. But you could be like a homeless innovator.
Well, I'm telling my friend, my closest homeless person.
You know, I've had several interviews this past week.
Oh, that's good. Anything promising?
Kind of, sort of. So I had an interview with Delaware State Parks, and I have another interview with a different Delaware State Park on Wednesday. And I also had an interview not for parks at all, but at a ski resort called Park City.
So why Delaware?
Because they're hiring, baby.
It just seems weird that you picked, like, one of the smallest states to be like, okay, y'all got any parks?
So here's what I did. I applied to about 100 federal jobs, and nobody has wanted me there. And so then I went to every single state's parks website and searched through their jobs. And so I've applied to probably parks in 30 states. Delaware just happened to get back to me.
Go there and drink some dogfish.
That's right. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Indiana also got back to me, and they really irritated me. So for Indiana, I had to send a cover letter, I had to send my resume that I wrote up, and I had to fill out their little resume thing, right?
Which has all of the same information.
Right.
There's no reason
so they've
for them
got,
to need it
they've
twice.
Got my same information three times over now. They sent me an email saying, hi, if you're still interested in this position, please tell us more about yourself.
Did they give you any specifics?
Nope. Just please tell us more about yourself. What do you want me to say? I've given you my educational and career history three times. You want me to tell you that my favorite color is green? I like craft beer. I enjoy reading historical fiction.
Your favorite color is green?
My favorite color is green, yes, that's correct.
That's a scrub-ass favorite color.
What? Fuck you! What's your favorite color?
Red, baby.
Of course it is. Oh God, you're such a Charizard kid.
That's the weirdest slur I've ever been called. Three sacks, what's your favorite color?
Admit it though, Samuel. You started off with Charizard every time.
Well, no, I started out with Charmander because they won't give you a Charizard at the gate. You're not ready for it.
Okay, all right, that's fair. That's fair. That's totally my fault.
You may or may not be able to see over my shoulder in the studio my Charizard print that Three Sacks got me for my birthday.
It's terrifying. That's why it's in here.
But I'm a scrub. Anyway, Three Stacks, what's your favorite color?
It's blue.
Blue? Oh, we got the classic trifecta right here.
We do. But you're like, fucking come at me with a squirt. I'll still stomp you. I know you got that type advantage. I will still stomp you.
What if I only ever use my Squirtle? And then it is a Blastoise. It's level 83.
Sounds like your team isn't very well rounded at that point.
And it still knows Bubble Beam.
Because Bubble is a cute move.
I did a playthrough maybe like 4 years ago where I caught a Magikarp like immediately after leaving the first town and just ground in those like bushes until it became a Gyarados. And that was, like, my only good Pokemon. And I just stomped face with this big-ass Gyarados.
Yeah, Gyarados, like, stats-wise is so good. It's nuts.
Yeah. Yep. But I, like, had him before I reached the first gym, and then I, like, didn't do anything else with any of my other Pokemon.
Before you reach the first gym? That doesn't sound correct. Can you even get your old rod before you get to Brock?
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You never know.
I think he's definitely wrong.
Nerd.
Yes.
Fair indeed. Enough. But, so yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping to get a job soonish, is where we were going originally.
So, the nice thing about Delaware is if you smell the air hard enough, you might be able to catch a whiff of Mitch. Because Delaware...
He'll be on the wind.
Yeah, Delaware and Maryland, they border.
Right, it's true. No, the cool thing about the Delaware job is it's actually year long, so, like, I wouldn't have to look for another job in 3 months,
yeah,
which
that'd
would be
cool.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
What's your level of optimism?
I mean, I had a good interview, but, you know, there could always be somebody more qualified who applied. And, like, there's nothing you can do about that, right? Like, yeah. It doesn't matter how good you speak. If somebody's been doing this for 10 years and I've been doing it for 3 months, you know?
Sure.
But the interview was good, so we'll see.
Cool.
With that being said, let's move on to another article. This one comes from lifehacker.com. And it says, check whether that craft beer is really craft with this app. There are lots of beer apps out there. One that I use pretty regularly is Untappd. And I think I may have found another one that I might be into. We all know that the Brewers Association has come out with this independent seal, but it's not on everything yet. I know, Sam, you sent me a picture of one that was out in the wild, so that's cool.
Yeah, we saw one on a Two Brothers can, and then also we saw one at a local bar called Hop House. They didn't have anything on their stuff, but there was just a sticker in the window.
Oh,
like,
okay.
At the tap house.
To be fair, like, we didn't buy any of their bottles. We were drinking stuff on tap.
Yeah, it's mostly a tap house. But
that's okay.
So they're not going to, like, get pint glasses with that printed on
it. That would be a strange
move. I would imagine not, yes. But, so that's happening, and now there is an app called Craft Check. And with this app, you can type in the name of a brewery or scan the barcode on a package, and it will tell you whether it is craft or not. And it will tell you, if it's not craft, who exactly owns it. And that's basically the whole thing. But I think that sounds pretty cool, because there are lots of times when I'm going to get a beer, and I really want to know, you know, who owns it. And it's not necessarily going to change whether I get the beer or not. I'm just curious. And this seems like a pretty good way to do it. Rather than, like, just putting it into the Google and spending 5 minutes trying to trawl through their website.
I have found that for most seeming micros that are actually macro-owned, one of the first suggestions when you Google them is, like, if you type in Ballast Point, it'll be Ballast Point Ownership. Right. And it'll tell you right away, oh, Constellation Brands. I think that most craft brews that aren't real, as we would think of them, independent, I suppose, is the more unbiased term.
Right.
You'll know right away if you look it up.
Hmm. So you're saying you've not had the same experience I have had, because usually I try to Google something and I think I feel like I have to, like, go through their website for a while to find it or not.
I guess maybe it's more that at a number of breweries, I've seen right away that they're not independent. So if I don't see right away that they're not, I assume that they are.
Uh-huh.
And I guess maybe you've had an experience where it seemed more hidden that they weren't independent. I don't know.
Well, so but you're not seeing. I am more into this because I've had more of a problem with it than you have, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just Google it. Plus, actually, I don't know if you know about this. I do this craft beer podcast, and we talk
you do
a lot.
What now?
Yeah. So we should have you on sometime. And we talk a lot on there about different microbreweries that aren't independently owned. So like, actually,
yeah, that sounds right up my alley. I should get into this.
Yeah, you should listen. We have a hell of a terrible back catalog. So, like, you know, I already know about Ballast Point, and I already know about Lagunitas, and so, like, I don't need to look those ones up. Generally, if I haven't heard of one, they're not big enough for me to, like, second-guess it, but I find generally you can just Google it, and it'll tell you right away.
Well, all right. There you go. Three Stacks, how about you? Can you decide for us whether this is helpful or not necessary?
Yeah, so I guess what he's asking is, do you want to sleep with me and my body warmth, or do you want to sleep in the guest room tonight?
It's definitely helpful, and everyone should use it all the time.
Damn it.
That was mine, Three Stacks. Thanks.
No, I don't know. I have very mixed feelings about... I guess it's making it easier for the consumer to know what they're buying, but at the same time, like, if it's that important to you that you're only buying beer from independent brewers, like... Do your research, I guess.
I'm trying to do my research, dog.
He's saying this app helps him do his research.
I don't know. It feels like when you get to the store is not the time to be like, huh, I wonder if this brewery is independent. I will try to do this research right now and figure it out. Like, it feels like the kind of thing where, like, you either, like, have your go-to brewery and you're like, huh, that was a new interesting thing I saw. I'll look into that. Or, like, it's not that important to you and you buy it anyway.
I don't know. When I go to Steve's and make a mix six, before I check out, I make sure that I haven't checked in any of those beers before on Untappd.
Yeah.
So I think it could be easy to also make the check, is this independent?
Generally speaking, I try to not be, like, standing in the middle of a store on my phone for significant amounts of time.
I don't stand in the middle. I go in the corner.
I sit right down. I lay down in the aisle so nobody can get past.
Yeah, usually I'll just kind of straddle the checkout line. Be like, you guys can wait behind me or you can crawl through my legs.
Right.
These are your options.
I like to hop on the little treadmill and get a workout in while I'm looking up the beer.
Speaking of workout...
Oh, no.
Three Stacks got one.
You got a workout?
I guess. I ran a 5K. Well, most of a 5K. I walked part of it. I'm not a perfect human.
Well, let's say you completed a 5K. How about that?
I did a 5K.
That's good. I would not be able to do that.
You could have done what I did.
Well, what did you do?
They had a different race. The .05K.
I would destroy that.
Yeah, speaking of destroying that, they said at the beginning, hey guys, this is just for fun, it's not a real race, don't take it too seriously. And I still, like, I squeezed past the, like, 5-year-old children waddling so that I could run past this one guy who, like, I was watching, like, he was, like, limbering up and shit beforehand. It's a 55-yard run. And he was, like, stretching for it, and I was like, well, I have to beat this guy. I don't care if I win, but I will beat this guy. And he was, like, actually running. But, like, so I'm not, like, the fastest guy, but I was at a jog, and he was, like, based on the way he looked, seemed to be at a sprint, and we were, like, at matched pace for that. So it just, like, it, like, felt a little bit like I was in a car. Like, I'm not used to being able to just pass people with ease, but it's like,
right. Oh,
I guess I'll just push on the gas a little bit and run right past this guy. And he saw me pass him, and he was, based on his face and his grunts, he was, like, digging deep to try and catch up to me. But I basically was just made sure that I kept whatever pace, made it so that I was 2 feet in front of him for the rest of the race.
Also, he was in, like, full athletic gear, and Sam was running this race in jeans and a hoodie.
Nice.
I ended up coming in second. Could have definitely won, I think, if I really wanted to, but no one was taking it seriously. So it kind of seems right. like, I think coming in second is the best outcome.
Yeah, nobody wants to place first in a joke contest, right? Yeah.
Placing is like, oh, I guess, oops, sorry guys, I ran too fast, just what I do. I guess I'm just a real star athlete. So then I went into the bar that was holding the contest and drank a couple beers while 3Stacks ran the 5K.
Nice. So 3Stacks, what inspired you to run this 5K?
Oh, I'm pudgy and I want to not be as pudgy.
She's not pudgy.
Yeah, I've seen you in real life, and listeners, she is lying into your earballs.
Really,
you can
it's just
say,
like...
You can maybe say you're out of shape. I mean, you could be skinny and out of shape, but I mean...
I mean, I am definitely that. It's really, okay. like, I know that running is good for me, and I have no motivation to do it most of the time. So, like, if I sign up for a 5K and know that I have to run in front of people, I'm way more motivated to be like, I should run any amount at all prior to this. And then also I have a time where I'm, like, committed to running at least 3 miles.
Right.
So now I'm considering withholding some standard services to make her run. Like, I would say 90 to 95% of the dishes in our household.
The first time.
Right. So maybe some of those dishes aren't going to get done. Maybe some of
them... these dishes are going to be more dirty than when they get to 3Stacks.
Maybe some of this laundry ain't going to get folded. You know, that kind of thing. Unless you run.
Right. It's good for you. I like these ideas.
I mean, I can do those things on my own. That's not really, like, the worst thing in the world.
You have to replace all of your... Like, any gadget that takes battery power, you just have to hook it up to one of those bikes. You know? That's where you get your workout in.
Yeah, I actually, like... That idea really appeals to me. Because most of the time when I'm exercising, I'm like, this is stupid. That, like... Right. I understand it, but at the same time, like, this does nothing for me. But if I, like, knew, like, this is the wattage that I'm gathering.
Yeah, you're banking that power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be good for me, like, the cheap mofo that is still in my heart, I think, would really be into that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So do you think this is something you're going to do on the regs?
I don't know. I mean, we're entering winter in Wisconsin, so...
So, yes, definitely.
Probably not until spring.
Okay.
Because all of the winter 5Ks are, like, the horrible, like, Christmas-themed ones, where it's, like, dress up as an elf or a Santa.
See, I would have imagined you as somebody who is into that.
Oh, he thinks you're a dork.
Oh, I mean... I am a dork. I guess, like, I'm thinking of in particular, I've looked into in the past, and it's, like, I think there's actually, like, one person dressed up as Santa, and then everyone else is dressed up as, like, either an elf or Rudolph or a snowman, and you have to, like, try to chase down the Santa.
That sounds awesome.
And catch them.
You're just talking this event up to me.
And I don't like the idea of, like, running to catch a person, because it's not going to happen.
Oh, also, the Santa is on a motorcycle.
Oh.
That part's not true, but that would be rad.
No, it sounds rad. Can you imagine Santa getting chased down by a pack of elves? That sounds crazy.
It reminds me a little bit of Muggle Quidditch.
Oh, no, that's just the saddest thing.
But, like, there's one, like, the Golden Stitch is a human person.
Right.
That everyone has to chase.
Well, yeah.
It bears similarities. Give me this.
Okay. It's all right, like you're right, Sam. You hit the nail on the head.
It's like the saddest game of reversed tag. Everyone is it.
It's like the saddest game of somebody give me some attention.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless anybody in the room played it, and then it's totally cool.
Is Becca glaring at you right now?
No.
She doesn't like sport enough.
Right, exactly.
But speaking of giving attention, at this concert, so many people were just dressed up like they may as well have had written on their chest, "People look and talk about me."
There was people in, like, airbender robes.
I think they were firebender robes.
All right, the point stands.
And there were some people in, like, bright silver pants and matching hats, and at least two people wearing overalls. And it was just kind of like... The whole time before the concert started, we saw these people walking around, and it's like, can no one just be wearing a hoodie and jeans like a normal person? Like, is everyone here just all about everyone making sure that they know that they're seen?
Yeah.
It kind of made me sad. I guess the attention seeker and bro contingent was way more significant than I thought it was. I kind of thought it would be like a chill thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's disappointing. That's unfortunate.
I mean, that dude who ended the night in front of us was so chill.
Yeah, there was a guy wearing a t-shirt that said,
like, grab your sausage and let's party or something?
Yeah, and he was so chill that he was holding a beer and was like...
trying to film the juggler.
Yeah, he's filming the juggler with one hand, holding a beer with the other, and just, like, dumped a bunch of it on himself because he was so drunk. Like,
Champ.
When this guy stood in front of his three takes, he was like, can we back up a little bit? I don't trust this guy. And he did stumble backwards, such that probably if I had been like, nah, we stand in here, he would have just trampled us.
Was he a large gentleman?
He was very large.
Okay. Let's see here. Shall we... we have one more article, but it's stupid.
I think maybe let's just wrap and rate.
Okay, great. So, wonderful. Let's do it in the same order we introduced them. Three Stacks, you go first.
Cool, yeah. As a reminder, in case everyone has forgotten from 48 minutes ago, I'm drinking Moody Tongue Caramelized Chocolate Churro Baltic Porter. It has grown on me over the course of the beer. It's not as bitter as I initially thought it was, but it also is not, like, there's no chocolate in it. There's no cinnamon, which I don't think there actually is supposed to be. I was looking at the bottle, and it does say...
It says churro on it. There should be cinnamon.
Porter
I would agree with
cocoa
that.
Nibs, caramel, and vanilla bean. So, like, they just flat-out lied about it being a churro beer. It, like, it's an okay, like, caramely vanilla porter, but it's not outstanding, and it did lie to me and was more expensive than what I would have paid for just a vanilla porter had I realized that it was not going to be interesting. So I'll give it a 5.8, and I would recommend this to anyone who has way too much money to spend and wants just a vanilla porter, like specifically a porter, not a stout, because I feel like they are harder to find.
Yep. Okay, great. I had Brewery Omegang's Rosetta. It was a creek aged on cherries. I said it kind of reminded me of wine, and that's true, but as I kept drinking, I realized more what it reminds me of is cranberry juice.
Gross.
Yeah, it tasted a lot like cranberry juice. And I don't hate cranberries, but they're not necessarily my go-to beverage. So I would give this probably like a 6.3. Recommend this to anybody who really likes cranberries. Like, if your go-to drink out at the bar is a vodka cranberry, maybe try Brewery Omegang's Rosetta. It might be a good fit for you.
Or, like, if you're on your period?
Yeah, or, like, if you gotta flush some mad UTIs out of there.
It's supposed to be a The Departed reference, but instead I just kind of sounded like a sexist.
Oh, right. And then he beats the guy.
Yeah, up around his brain and such.
Up around his brain box, with, I believe, the cranberry juice glass.
That could be correct.
Yeah.
Man, that was, it was not Scorsese's best work, but it might have been his, like, best reviewed. It's kind of strange.
It's probably, like, his most, like, mainstream, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Kind of like when, the Coen brothers won... the Oscar for There Will Be Blood is like, this was just a movie. It didn't feel like a Coen Brothers movie. It just felt like a movie.
Yeah. And this has been the Moves Day Tuesday podcast.
Any comments, Three Stacks? Do you just want to say you liked Moana a lot?
I did like Moana a lot, but it didn't feel relevant.
Yeah. I also liked Moana a lot.
Okay. That's good.
It's a very fun movie.
Nice. I just want, all I want is success for my good buddy, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
And he put in a great performance. Actually, there was a whole thing.
I'm sure he did.
There was a whole thing about how he thought that was like, he like put in more work for that performance because he's so used to kind of relying on, you know, he's obviously a very charismatic, handsome guy, and he's very built. So he can kind of just mostly just skate through on his looks. Right. But with voice acting, you can't do that. So he was talking about how he had to push himself so much harder. But I thought he put in a great performance.
He did a good job.
All right. Well, you heard it here, like 289th. Moana, pretty good movie.
I would give it a 9.4 out of 10 and recommend it to literally everyone.
Okay. Sam, what kind of rating does your beer get up against that?
Well, not as strong. I had Evil Twins, You're in the Jungle, Baby! And I guess there was a lot of stuff that I was supposed to taste that I didn't really taste. This kind of just tasted like... It feels weird to say, like, a down-the-middle Imperial Stout, because an Imperial Stout is not a very down-the-middle beer.
Right.
But this is as close as you could get to a down-the-middle Imperial Stout.
Hmm.
And, you know, I enjoyed it, but I didn't get the pepper. I got a little bit of the chocolate. Didn't get that much orange. But, you know, it's 12%, and it hit it well. I mean, I guess I feel like this was down the middle, so I'll rate it down the middle. I'll give this... it's 12%. So I'll do a little... I'll give it a little bit of a favor. I'll give it a 6.2.
Okay.
And I would say if you are in such a situation that you're, like, only able to have, like, one beer, make it this one, because it's 12%, and it hides it well.
Right. So you can just put it back, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Do you happen to know what you're drinking next week?
I don't. Three Stacks, do you remember any of the beers I have?
I mean, you were going to drink Salted Caramel on the show.
Oh, yeah. Three Stacks got a beer from our good friends at Southern Tier, which is like a salted caramel stout, which I'm super psyched to try. I guess I'll have that on the show next week.
All right, great. Well, Three Stacks, you're generally around, but it's good to have your voice on.
Thanks.
I don't know if the mic caught that. So she said thanks, y'all.
Yeah, she was done. She was done vocalizing. So
it feels weird.
No, thank you though for being on. It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, Sam. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Nerd.
Fair. Everybody, thank you for listening. If you have anything to say to us, you can tweet at us at Brewsday Tuesday. You can comment on our articles at brewstuesday.com. Or you can email us at brewstaytuesdaypodcast@gmail.com. Don't let the best keep you down. We'll see everybody next week. Bye.
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 Come suck here. Catch all your tears. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. Here comes a shot. Lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. This one's on me. Fix you for free. Drink the remedy. Forget about everything. This one's on me. Got what you need. And take your medicine. You feel better, friend.
Samuel, why did you send me this thing about a goat?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Yeah, I did.
Did we talk about this goat before?
Yeah, for sure.
This goat seems to have nothing to do with beer.
Yeah, dude, definitely.
Okay.